Sit back, have a beer, talk a little college football.
Think it.
Yeah. All right, awesome. We're here. JD Patil on three. Our future trainer.
Yeah. His picture's up in the locker room there, so I can aspire to be him. In fact, a buddy of mine was trying to get me to go to Turkey and pay $2,500, stay up for 4 nights, and they're going to do the hair plugs. And I was like, well, if I can have JD's hair, I think it would be worth it.
Turkey the place?
Yeah, the place. Yeah, I know they're in a little bit of a pickle right now, but I'm sure they'll knock some money off if I could get over there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Try anything once, twice if you like it, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking you were talking about like Subway, like getting you some turkey over there.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Thanksgiving's a ways away, but I
see. Oh, no, like the country point. Turkey. That's like, phenomenal. Go over there. That's I don't even phenomenal. Know exactly where that's at, but it sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, there's flights to everywhere, I'm sure, you know.
Phenomenal. So how about this on three event, man? This is awesome.
It's incredible. We were talking before we got on air, having Grant Furking on our team and having Grant Furking put this all together, man, he is a one of one, him and the entire on three team from Morgan to John. I mean, and then Shannon obviously running the whole operation. Like, I'm just very grateful to have a seat on the bus, you know, and be able to be able to benefit from this event and be able to get some great content. But I mean, what they've done has been first class in every aspect. And it's very cool to see it all come to life.
Right, and I didn't realize. So we just sat down with Rusty Manziel, one of our all-time favorites. Well, first of all, he took credit for the creation of this event, but which I believe him. But he used to work at 24/7, and they had the All-American Bowl, and he said that was like the biggest thing of the year they did. But nowadays, with December recruiting, I mean, all these guys have made their decision. It's almost not worth anything at that point. So you need something a lot quicker, and this is the on-three version of the All-American Bowl, and it kind of clicked for me, and I think that's why this is becoming such a big event.
And it all happened so fast. Like you said, the timeline is perfect with the recruiting calendar, but then also it used to, and this is something Rusty told me, there was a point in time where the opening was kind of around this time of year, and guys, you know, like Nick Chubb's running the 40, everyone's doing every event. Yeah. Well, now, go to the Nike event, a lot of the top guys are like, hey, I'm not running, I'm not testing, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Whereas, like, we're not asking anybody to do anything physical. It's like, hey, let's come talk about your recruitment, which is what you would do at those camps anyway. Let's come talk some NILs, talk some ball, and let's, you know, show you a good time while we do it. So this has been tremendous. And, yeah, it's funny how the whole recruiting calendar landscape is shifting. And, it's a wild world we're in.
You know, I mean, obviously we want to highlight these kids as some, I mean, just athletes. Probably future Hall of Famers at this event, which is awesome. But, you know, one of the things I like about what y'all are doing is you highlight all recruits. And, you know, I think when I think of you, I know you played college football. And, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of kids, maybe 10, 15 years, maybe when you were going to school, that didn't get the exposure that they needed. How has, like, a site like yourself kind of changed the landscape for that kid to get his name out there?
Yeah, if I had the right exposure, I would have been at, turn on a little fan action. What we got going?
Well, we're just turning it off.
Gotcha. Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm glad you said that. If I had more exposure, I would have been at Tennessee.
That's what I was thinking.
I would have had to turn down schools instead of going the FCS route. No, I mean, I think the phenomenal part about the way that Shannon and the rest of the people with On3 have kind of designed On3, and I don't want to speak for them, but it really is a for the athlete kind of operation, in the sense of whether you're a three-star or a no-star or a five-star, we want them to be able to have all the information and all the access to be able to help themselves in the best way possible during their recruitment. So, I think it is cool that there are so many tools that aren't exclusive to a specific athlete that seem to be made available, which is fun.
It seems like I sound like my grandfather. Back when I was in school, there was like a magazine that came out, and the state of Tennessee had like 250. They called it the Blue Chip.
Okay.
And you go through it, and you're just seeing if your name's on there or somebody that you play against is going to be on there. And now it's, you know, there was no huddle videos. There was none of this. And this on three, it's just kind of crazy to me how much has grown on the recruiting side of college football.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, recruiting was like kind of what we would feed ourselves off of when we weren't playing games. Yeah. And now that's even kicked up a notch. So we got the portal, we got coaching carousel. And then on top of that, recruiting's turned itself up a bunch of notches too. Yeah. So like, if you're a college football fan, you literally have something to talk about, give or take, 11 months out of the year, yeah, maybe 12 if the right coach leaves the right job at the right time, you know? So it's, yeah, it is such a win for guys like us that are in the content business, right, where it's like, it used to be you had to really manufacture a lot of content, and there's still a degree to that, but there's legitimately things going on all of the time, and recruiting is a massive part of that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You more excited for the football season or the release of the college football video game?
I knew that was coming. It's so funny because this is something I got to tell you all about, and I would love to hear your input. So I have not played video games since the last one came out.
Really?
Meaning I have not had a console that is up to date for the game since, right, the last one came out. Also, I met my wife since the last one came out. So she has known me as a person who does not really play video games. Right. And that is one of the things that she appreciates about me. However, with the new game coming out, I am going to have to make the recruiting pitch of all recruiting pitches. Say, hey, babe, this is going to be best for us and our family for me to go buy a $500-plus console, plus, oh, let's say, $150, yep, bundle to get the game early. That's going to be a hard pitch. That's going to be a very, yes, hard pitch, but I would welcome all insight. Very excited for the game and the college football season, to answer your question. But
and I know you don't have a lot of free time right now, and it's like one of those things that you got to start introducing that. As 16 years married, man, I'm telling you, you better start playing some Fortnite or something right now and get her used to it, because when the game comes out, it is going to take up some of your time, I'm sure.
It's going to be tough.
We've never done like Twitch, you know, anything like that, but where you play the game and we're live streaming the us playing and stuff. We're going to try to reach out to different media personalities to challenge them. Huh. So you're going to be on the list.
Done. Absolutely.
So there you go. Tell your wife you don't want to get embarrassed on a live stream. Yeah. You have to get
and
this
since
game.
You've not been gaming, you will probably be week one. So
great. Yeah. I am your FCS opponent that you got on the docket. Yeah. You don't want to get me in October, though. No. You don't want New Mexico State happening. That's when I kind of get my legs underneath me. Yeah.
Who you picking in a dynasty? Is there a team that maybe near and dear to your heart?
So Crane and Company, they're doing, I think, a similar thing where you have to pick a G5 school.
Uh-huh.
So if that were the case, I'm rolling with Eastern Michigan. Had a buddy work there for a period of time. Good folks over there on that staff. Absolutely. The great field, cool uniform. Because like, that's what you're really doing, right? You're trying to find cool external things to put with your team.
Absolutely.
I think I'm rolling EMU.
Nice. And weather? Going to have some weather up
gonna
there?
Going to have some weather advantage. Yeah, maybe not the most raucous crowd in all of college football. It might not be Neyland or Bryant Denny, but I think it's going to have what we need to get the job done on a Wednesday night. You know,
I dig it. I like it.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the other day Mike Elko came out and said, I guess they structured a practice right after the release of Call of Duty 2, and he basically said the next practice was worthless because everybody stayed up and played the game all night long. So these coaches, I mean, if they're smart like Mike Elko, they're going to have to structure practice to where, absolutely, you know, you can't have a practice after the release of this game. You know what?
Mike has already structured our podcast around it.
Also a smart play. Also a smart play. Golly, yeah. I mean, I mean, you hear things about, like, Kyler Murray in the NFL. And
right.
People compare his stats when, like, the latest first-person shooter game drops, and they're not pretty. I'm very interested to see if it is good or bad for content for our world, because on one hand, you're like, you were paying attention to college football, the game, not the real thing. You know, what's going on here? Yeah, it's gonna be a whole new variable just thrown into this thing.
So let me ask you, because there's a lot coming into this season. Like, it seems like we do this every year. Like, oh, what are they doing down there in Destin right now? What are they talking about? You know, and it feels like this year they just put everything in there. We got the expansion. We've got the two new teams, Texas and Oklahoma, coming in. We got the college football game, the revenue share. I mean, what out of all of that, what do you think should be the biggest topic we should be talking about coming into this football season right now?
That's a really good question, man. I think the one that I'm drawn to is Texas and the SEC.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of talk around you know, how other conferences stack up to the SEC. And a lot of people think it's like this media conspiracy of the SEC being propped up. And so you add in Texas, which is a massive brand, massive following, and also with the way that they have built to have a college football playoff run last year and win the Big 12. So there's all this momentum behind Texas entering into the SEC, and their schedule's brutal too. They got Georgia now in Austin. They got Georgia October 19th, I think it is. So there's the
Oklahoma the week before,
no bye in between. So
at
A&M, which is, I mean, thank the Lord we have that one, the last game of the season. So that's a very roundabout way to say I think Texas and the spot they're in right now, where they're starting to peak and then being thrown into the most difficult conference in college football. How do those things mix? How does that whole situation with Steve Sarkisian, you know, entering into that that ecosystem, and how that looks year one will be interesting.
Man, he hates Oklahoma, don't he? He just hates them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about hating. Do you think that's good? Because I feel, you know, every fan, every program thinks that, like, everybody hates them.
Right.
But I think genuinely everybody in the SEC hates Texas.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll help or hurt them as they come into the league?
I think they welcome it.
Right.
I truly do. I think there's something to when you go to Texas or you're a Texas fan, you sign up to be that brand that nobody, kind of like Duke in college basketball,
right,
honestly.
Right.
It's like, you hate us, we know you hate us, but we don't care, and we think you hate us because we matter in the in the landscape that is college football,
right,
whether it be brand power, whether it be how competitive they've been over the course of this last season. So I think it honestly just kind of comes with the territory. And, like, let's be honest too, you could put Texas in the MAC, people would still hate them. You know, like, it's just that burnt orange, the everything about Texas. If you're not a Texas fan, you despise. And for us as content creators, like, we just get to be in it and enjoy it, and, you know, be tourists in the whole world of it. So it's fun.
I saw Texas. They did that tier one. I don't know if you saw that, but the NCAA's paying out.
Yeah.
And Texas was not in tier one, but Oklahoma was. It was like, oh, buddy.
They just snuck that one in.
They didn't want to talk about it, but it was out there.
Snuck that one
in
there.
They set it up wisely for, all right, this isn't going to happen, but it would be the most hilarious thing of the football season. Texas at Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt were to beat Texas, is there a funnier result in the entire?
Well, they lead the series right now. if you get up Wikipedia, you know, that's probably, like, other than On Three, is probably my most Googled search website is Wikipedia.
I'm not familiar with Wikipedia.
Oh, really?
No,
you'll love it.
You do, you go to this website. It's very simple, and then it's like, insert Team A, let's say Texas, insert Team B, Oklahoma, and it immediately spits out the entire game series, who won last every year, and the score, where the game was played.
That's genius.
Yes. Yeah. And they have every team. So you could do
it'll be on All Three's website next week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Write that down. That's fun.
But yeah, so Vanderbilt leads that series. It's like 8-3. That's why we know it.
We got some ground to make up.
These new games, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma coming in, obviously you're drawn to maybe some of the matchups we're going to see this year, but is there maybe a handful of games that you're really looking forward to? And it doesn't have to be just Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, there's some marquee matchups this season.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, Oklahoma, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know y'all over that one. I mean, that is one that, like, the storylines going into it with Heupel and you know, Norman. I mean, the first game for Oklahoma in the SEC. Nico making his first big-time road start.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
Like, there's just so many layers to that one where it's like, ooh. I guess it's week three, I believe, so that's going to be
week four.
I mean, that's going to be juicy. And then, obviously, I mentioned Texas, Georgia.
Yeah.
That's massive. Texas A&M, not to harp on Texas, but, like, y'all, we've been starved of that one for a while. So to get that one back in the ecosystem and get that one back, just period, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. One that we're dying to see is Georgia at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Especially after Ole Miss got embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
They had to beef up on the line of scrimmage. So you have to imagine that's a game they have circled to prove that they can truly contend.
Yeah,
absolutely. Ole Miss got a few on there. Is this
LSU
the year? Like, I mean, everybody's kind of Let me kind of pivot on that. Is this the year that you see Ole Miss potentially making a college football playoff spot?
It has to be, right? Yeah. It has to be. Like, Lane Kiffin, I don't know if he plays poker, but he has done the equivalent of taking the chips and said, all right,
yeah.
all in, boys. Yeah. All in. There's no more Nick Saban.
Absolutely.
They're expanding the playoff. We don't have to win the SEC to get in the darn dance. Like, go get Princely, Emmanuel, Mielen, Walsh, Nolan, Juice Wells. Like, we go down the list here. If we're putting two and two together, it feels like they've spent to make this a college football playoff kind of year. And we were talking earlier on today's show with Andy Staples, and he was just saying, he's like, well, is that enough? Like, okay, you made the dance. Now we want to win a game. Now we want to be in the game. You know, the national title game, that is. But, I mean, I think this year, anything less than a college football playoff berth, I think, is a failure.
Absolutely.
If we're sitting here 5 years from today, who do you think will be judged as a better hire? DeBoer at Alabama or Mike Elko at A&M?
That's a great question.
He's really coming with the hard hitters today, Mike.
You know, I think I'm going to say Mike Elko, and the reason why, I think Kalen DeBoer and the bar that is set so enormously high for him.
Yeah.
If he wins one national championship, like, Alabama fans could still say, well, you haven't won one for us in 3 years. Is this the right guy?
And he did it with Saban's and Hare, you know,
completely,
team, you know.
Completely.
We've
if Mike Elko goes out and wins 10 games and they go win a New Year's Six Bowl, it's like, hey, he took them from the abyss of 7-5 and brought, you know, the life back to College Station. So I think there's a lot wider net for him to score into for Mike Elko. But I do think, I say this truthfully, I think both were great hires for both sides. I wasn't 100% sure about Kalen DeBoer at the jump. Still not sure about how they're going to recruit in the SEC. But I do think right now they're both in position to be successful.
I could imagine even Mike Elko getting credit for A&M's success under Jimbo. Because they'll say, well, he was the defensive coordinator.
For sure.
We went downhill when he left, you know?
Yeah. Is there, you know, Cinderella's teams like Mizzou, I think last year you could kind of put that in that space that they super, like, no one expected other than us for them to do well. I don't get too many victory left, but I'm taking it. I'm going to take it all season.
You got to take it.
But is there maybe a team you got your eye on this year in the SEC that you're saying, hey, this could be this year's Missouri?
Auburn is really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves Auburn.
I like Auburn a lot, man. I mean, just we got to go out there during the spring, so maybe there's a little bit of that.
Has Hugh Freeze paid you off or something?
I wish.
The Crane brothers over here giving you a little pressure.
Golly. If they are, I missed the boat on that. I put in the wrong checking account number. But I think Peyton Thorne last year was just trying to put it together so much on the fly.
Yeah.
And so to have a full spring and also to have better weapons, like Rivaldo Fairweather is built like Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
But if he's your leading receiver and he's playing tight end, like, maybe we need a little bit more help on the perimeter. So I love what they did in the portal. And I think Hugh Freeze taking over the offense will have a massive difference. And New Mexico State's going to be the talking point for a lot of folks that want to say, well, is this really going to work? Look at what happened last year. I mean, I look at the close losses about as close as I look at the tough loss to Mexico State. Like, they played Georgia to the last possession. They played Bama to the last possession.
Right.
So there's no credit for being close. But if that's a data point for where they're trending in the first year, I think that's a positive sign. I'll also say this. I think Florida is getting a bad rap right now. People are just taking, I think, last year's 5-7 record and looking at the schedule for next year and saying, okay, we know who they are. They're going to be a sub 500 team. You know, Billy's going to get fired by October, which there's a world where things do go left without a doubt. But, like, look at Graham Mertz. I think he's a more than capable quarterback for you. I think the defense will be much better. I think Eugene Wilson's one of the best playmakers in the SEC, if not college football. So I think there is a path for Florida to maybe surprise some people this year.
Yeah.
Have you given any consideration to where speaking of change, so much change, but there's no more divisions in the SEC.
Yeah.
Any programs you could see that could really help and maybe some that'll really hurt? Because I think you could argue there's probably some in the East or the former East that probably hurt now because they got to play more, and then vice versa. Some of the teams out of the West probably going to benefit from not facing that West gauntlet annually.
For sure. I mean, I think Tennessee's probably the school we look at, right? Like, it used to be, okay, well, you need some help. You need somebody to beat Georgia, or you need to beat Georgia.
Right,
now it's like, hey, you handle business, and you find yourself sitting there with – two losses potentially could even get you into the SEC title game. I think that's going to be really, really fascinating to see how they take advantage of the divisionless SEC. It's going to be like the Hunger Games now. You know, it's going to be legitimately like, all right, there's no more you need this and that to happen. It's, I mean, I guess to a degree with the divisionless, but it won't be quite as in-depth as it was previously.
Well, I think that was the biggest argument when we talked about doing away and the expansion was that every Saturday is going to kind of lose its luster a little bit. But I feel that, kind of like you said, the Hunger Game approach, that late November, the East and West isn't settled. We're still figuring out maybe some bubble teams to get into that playoff spot. I think we're going to have better football in November than we've had in years past.
It hurts my heart a little bit because I was anti-expansion. I still am anti-expansion, but I do think what you're saying is absolutely true. Like, you will have a wider variety of games that will have something at stake when you get to late November, the last weekend of the season. Now, some games that previously had been, okay, winners out, where it was, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, and, you know, different games, the Alabama, LSU, whenever they would play in October, early November, whatever it was, that maybe loses a little bit of shine. But I do think you're on the money there. Yeah, like, we're going to get some fun games at the end of the season. A&M, Texas could be one of those games, too, that ends up being for a playoff spot. So it'll be fun. As long as we have Saturdays in the fall and there is still, like, a reasonable number of teams in the college football playoff, we're going to get a great regular season.
Yeah, I'm never wrong on this show.
I love it. That's what I heard. I love it.
Check the tape.
The only place I disagree with him is the SEC championship.
Okay.
I feel like that is going to
–
I love that game, but like Georgia last year, they're still in the playoff.
Yep.
Now, Big 12, ACC, I think that those championship games will – that could really help you. But I would think teams are not even going to want to play in the SEC championship.
And it's signing day that week.
Right.
Like, now you really want to be having to worry about your game plan for, you know, Will Anderson on one side, and by the way, trying to sign your five-star quarterback who's talking to another school, all in the matter of, what, a 72-hour period? Like, that's...
And I have to imagine, if you're in the top two of the SEC, you are firmly in the 12.
Right.
So it's like, why am I playing this extra game before we get to the ultimate playoff?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the conversation would be, well, you buy yourself a month to prep and to get healthy. But if you lose it, like you said, you lose that week, so it's a 3-week stretch to go get ready for your first round game. Probably are dinged up from playing one of the top teams in the country. Yeah, like the ROI there is tough to sell a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, we're SEC homers, obviously, but is there any teams that maybe you could see firmly in that college football playoff spot that we're going to be?
Oh yeah.
Who you got?
We did a segment 2 or 3 weeks ago on our show, and I called them pencil in playoff teams. Like, I think you can pencil in Georgia right now. I think you can pencil in Texas right now. Not an SEC team, but I think you can pencil in Ohio State right now. Those three to me feel pretty firmly in. Outside of that, I'd probably make a pretty strong case for an Ole Miss. I think the cutoff is going to be so interesting. Is it 3 losses?
Right.
Is it 2 losses? How does that 3rd loss look? Because, I mean, we could be sitting in the world here.
I think it depends on the schedule.
For sure, yeah, and the eye test, too, of
right,
course.
Right.
I think Texas and Georgia, to me, are layups right now as we sit here in, you know, late May to be college football playoff teams, for sure.
Yeah.
Last thing I got for you, who's the breakout star in the SEC? Maybe like a casual college football fan doesn't know this name, but by the end of the season, like, basically everybody's going to know this guy's name.
Man.
It could be any position.
Yeah. I think Chris Braswell at Tennessee is a massive one. Also, I think CJ Daniels, who broke out last year, he had 1,000 yards at Liberty, but he played at Liberty, so a lot of folks aren't sure exactly who that is. Him and Garrett Nussmeier, I think, will do, I mean, Goodwill Hunting kind of numbers. Like, it's going to be, I think they've had so many, you know, so much production left from a Malik Nabers and a Brian Thomas to the league. So I think he's going to be a guy that has a massive year in Baton Rouge. It'll be fun.
And on the opposite, I got one.
Okay.
Which team in the SEC do you feel maybe is getting a little too much hype coming into this year? Who's the team that opposite of Cinderella?
So this is not going to make me a popular.
See, I try to build you up. He's trying to tear you down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a man with this hair and this physique, you know, I got to take my shots when I can. You know,
so for
I got bullied by kids like this at school. You know,
that's one. That's horrible. I'm very sorry to hear that. Second, I think it's Missouri, and the reason why last year had some magic, right? I mean, 4-1 score wins, which was phenomenal, and they absolutely earned that. But you lose Cody Schrader, and it's just tough to replicate that kind of magic year in and year out. So I'm a little bit wait and see on Missouri. Not they won't be good. I think 8 wins is more than solid for them. But to go and win double-digit games and have the run they had last year, that would surprise me just a little bit with Missouri this year.
Yeah. All right. Before you go, can you tell the audience, how can they follow you? How can they find your work?
Man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, the author YouTube channel, type in The Hard Count with J.D. Picoel, and you find us on podcast there as well. But what do you, make sure you subscribe here, though. Subscribe to this channel first and foremost, and we'll keep a good thing going. But I appreciate it, y'all, man. Y'all do a phenomenal job. This is always a blast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thank you so much, man.
100%.
Yeah, that was great.
Awesome, boys.
What was that movie where...
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.